Now, listen, we've got no time for all of this stuff. Why did you start me off on this, Febsy?
Wasn't me.
Was it not you?
No, okay.
Wasn't that a song? No, let's not go there. Right, now, the way that we do this, we talk some cool gadgets in just a moment, but we also talk about a couple of news stories, and the boss of Microsoft this week is telling us that 1984, in terms of that dystopian future that was predicted in that famous book by Orwell, will be here in 2024. Bit of a worry, isn't it?
Well, it's quite interesting. It's quite ironic as well, given that... So this is Brad Smith, who's the president of Microsoft these days, and... Yeah, it's kind of ironic that it comes from the president of Microsoft, because they're very much part of the problem, not the solution, in my opinion. You know, they've been selling technology hither and thither, including to the military. So, I think that in some ways we've already surpassed what George Orwell talked about in 1984. And I think 1984 wasn't so much meant to be a prediction of what happened in 1984, so much as what was to an extent already happening in totalitarian regimes. And I kind of despair at this, to be honest with you, because we're almost at the point where it's already too late, that the genie is so far out of the bottle that it would require some serious effort to put that cork back in now. What we actually need is a set of rights enshrined in law that extends into the modern era our right to privacy in public spaces, because at the moment it's deemed that, you know, if you're in a public space you have no right to privacy. And that sort of idea came about when we were talking about other people looking at us, you know, just glancing, but it didn't presuppose, and I don't think George Orwell's novel presupposed, that computers would be looking at us and understanding what they see. Our greatest protection, Howard, always used to be that there were more of us than there were of them, and there weren't enough people to watch all the cameras all the time, and therefore...
But now the technology has algorithms that lets them do that.
Exactly, that they can understand what they're seeing. They can even predict things, and of course there are benefits to this sort of thing. I mean, there are algorithms, for example, attached to cameras that are in the streets in the UK now that look for the signs of... effectively pre-crimes, if you've seen the film. You know, the idea, they look for crimes before they happen. They look at movements and groups of movements of, for example, youths in the street, and if the AI thinks that trouble's about to kick off or that someone's behaving suspiciously, then they can be descended upon. Now, you may say that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, until the AI decides that you're behaving suspiciously and you get set upon. You know, this idea that we sort of deal with things beforehand. And it's also interesting because I think Brad Smith argues that, you know, we need laws to be brought in to protect us, and we do. But then then we talk about China and other regimes of that ilk. These are not democracies. And, you know, about half of all the CCTV cameras in the world are in China, and they're certainly not half the population of the planet. And if you look at the way that it's being used against Uyghurs, for example, is the allegation that, you know, that these people are being...
It's been in the news today.
Well, yeah, and there was a documentary about it recently as well. And they're being culturally exterminated. You know, there is no ability for them to practice their faith. There's certainly no ability for them to dissent in any way. Because, you know, you can't have a democracy if you can't have people disagreeing with what's happening and decide to object to it, you know, because these people are getting stamped on before they have any chance to object.
In our Western society, then, where we have, you know, the ability to stop and think again, we need to be making a plan for all of this, because it's here.
Well, we need legislation. I mean, for example, some of the big technology companies have put in place a self-imposed moratorium on sharing facial recognition technology, selling it to police services around the world, right? Because there are not the legal safeguards in place to protect innocent people against the misuse of this technology. And all that's happened is that smaller companies have filled the gap and sold similar technology to them. So it's not enough for, you know, well-meaning tech giants to make steps in the right direction, albeit maybe small baby steps. We actually need law, and we need people to understand that our freedoms are at risk. And this, you know, excuse me, this idea that, you know, if you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. It's a complete nonsense. You know, the idea that, you know, I mean, I always ask people, do you draw your curtains at night? Do you close the bathroom door before you use the bathroom? Why? Are you doing something wrong? Or is there just a concept of privacy? And how would people decide that they don't approve of a government? How would a new political party form? How would demonstrations be organised if the state was aware of everything before you were able to do it? These are not illegal acts at the moment. And I invite people to think about, you know, how Hitler could have used that technology and how much more successful he would have been in his aims had he had, you know, just been a few decades later and had this sort of technology at his hands.
It's all stuff that, you know, we can't discuss at any length tonight, but it's stuff that we need to be thinking about. And funny you should mention that particular topic, because coming next, we're going to be talking about his Hitler's radio stations, his fake news radio stations, running fake news before that term was even invented. So we're going to be doing a big segment on that coming next.
Yeah.
One other story, then we'll get to some cool gadgets. That other story is Twitter is due to launch its so-called blue subscription service. What would you get, do you think, if you sign up for it and pay for it?
So it's not clear because Twitter sort of confirmed it by accident. They didn't mean to confirm it, it seems. But most people believe that it will include a number of things, including the ability to undo tweets. And for anyone who's tweeted inappropriately, you get a certain amount of time in which you can delete a tweet that you've sent, but not very long. And then it's there forever, and there's not much you can do about it other than apologise.
I've always wondered about that, Febzy. I can't expect you to speak for Twitter, but I wonder what the rationale is to not let people indefinitely make changes to or delete their tweets.
Well, the difference is that you could say something, people could respond to it in a particular way, then you could edit what you said and make those responses seem invalid. Would people's responses have to be deleted, or would they be allowed to stand even though the original tweet has been edited?
Well, I think the whole thing would have to go, wouldn't it?
Or you could show the edit, you could allow it to be edited, but then put a note saying that this has been edited by the author. You know, I mean, if you look at Wikipedia, for example, which is, you know, the online encyclopedia that is put there and edited by the public, every edit of Wikipedia is recorded. What was changed is noted. And who changed it as well. So, you know, it could be done. On a wider note, I think I would just say that I welcome this. I welcome the idea that social media companies are finding ways to charge for their services, because my hope is if they can find ways of being a normal business and having customers who pay for services instead of, you know, the sort of Facebook-type model of, in quotes, giving it away for free whilst fleecing you for all your data.
The harvesting of data, which is, you know, it's the quid pro quo, so it's the trade-off that we all do.
So if a company could make money by charging for its social media services, so if Twitter or Facebook, let's say, could find a way of making, you know, even £1 a month out of people, most people would pay £12 a year for Twitter, I'm sure. The problem is they're making much more out of our data than £1 a month per person. So it would, you know, I think you'd have to again have a legal framework which made that sort of business illegal, that business model illegal, and then they would be forced to make you know, normal profits in a more let's say conventional way.
And again, here's another great big debate that is worth having, but sadly we don't have the time for it. You know, if you start moving towards paid for models, then of course by definition you start excluding people. The people you exclude are the ones who can't pay.
Yeah, but you can have a free tier, and then you can have an enhanced tier where you do pay for it, and that's a model that's worked in other areas, isn't it? I mean, you know, Apple's iCloud, for example. You know, their cloud service. If you've got one of their devices, you get a certain amount of storage for free, and if you want more, you pay for it. And there's a tier, you know, there's a tiered price list. So that sort of thing can work. So they wouldn't necessarily, you know, lose 90% of their customers because they had to pay for it. You could have it where there was a free tier, but even the people who get it for free should not have their data scraped and harvested and used commercially or politically or otherwise.
Well, so we need to be thinking about these things, and we all need to be responsible about it. Okay, yeah. Cool gadgets. Let's make time to do this. Gadget number one is, I'm looking at a picture of it here. Looks some pretty cool and pretty integrated, a security camera system.
Yeah, so it's from Eufy Security. Eufy is spelled EUFY. The product's called a Eufycam 2C Pro. And what it is it's a two-camera wireless home security system. So there's a base unit called a home base, nothing to do with the shops, and two of these little cameras. Now, these are security cameras that work wirelessly, so they work off Wi-Fi, so you don't need to have a cable running into them to, you know, take the picture or sound to and from them. But in addition to that, they've got rechargeable batteries in them. So you charge them up before you mount them in their typically outdoor locations, although there's no reason why you can't use these indoors, but they are waterproof. I think they're IP67, so they can be, you know, mounted to the outside of the house. But because you're not having to run a mains power cable through, you don't have to drill the external wall. You can just screw them to the wall or a tree or anything else that you want. They have a battery, and you just have to charge the battery up. And they're claiming that the battery will last about 6 months. Well, it depends exactly how you use it, I think. But typically, they're saying that a five-hour charge would give you about 6 months' use. So twice a year, the idea is that you take the device down, charge it up, and put it back up again, which is not, you know, ideal. But I can tell you, drilling external walls is not a great thing to do either, because if it's done wrong, you get water ingress into your home and dampen all the rest of it. So there are a number of things about this that are kind of special. One is the resolution. The sensor inside it is a 2K sensor, which is obviously not as much as a 4K, which, you know, but actually most security cameras top out at full HD, which is 1K, you know, so 1080p. This is double that. The cameras are totally wireless because they don't need power and they don't need a data cable. They run off Wi-Fi. There's 180-day battery life. They have built-in spotlights as well, which can come on at night time. So you can either use the infrared lamp inside it if you don't want to alert someone to the fact that they've been observed, or you can shine a small light on them, which allows you to have a color footage even at night. You can view live images and recordings from the smartphone, tablet, or via an Amazon Echo device with a screen. It's got built-in camera and speaker in each device, so you can actually talk to the person approaching your house, which is kind of nice, and they can talk back to you. It's got an algorithm in it that can decide if a movement is, for example, an animal or a human being, and only send you notifications if it's a human being. So, you know, pets and wildlife don't necessarily have to send you notifications. Although, wildlife photography, you know, people put up nature cams in their garden and so forth. It's ideal for that as well, although it's not its primary intention.
Okay, that's a lot of functionality. I'm sorry that, you know, our time is ticking down on us, but it does an awful lot. And 6 months' life on the battery is fantastic. What does all that functionality cost you then, Fancy?
Well, yeah, but the one big thing to say about this is there are no monthly fees, because the home base unit has storage inside it. So instead of having to store the images up on the cloud, you can store them locally, which is free and under your control. Price-wise, currently on Amazon, I saw it for $259.99. Full price is $300. 4 stars out of 5, not least because of those high-quality 2K sensors.
Now, Mark, my producer, is telling me that I've got under 2 minutes, so I'm going to have to rush a bit. Sorry
about
this.
No problem. We can do that.
Because the next item had to be, of necessity, recorded earlier. This is a kettle that you control by your phone. That's got to be overkill.
Yeah, it has some useful sides to it, but it's also fun. So it's from a business called Smarter. It's called the iKettle, third generation device. It's a kettle for boiling water. You can remote control the boiling from anywhere using the app, or it can be voice controlled via Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant. You can activate it and tell it what temperature you want the water to be, which is very good because some drinks, you know, suffer if you put boiling water in them, or if you've got a baby and you use formula, or if you're going to do a hot water bottle, you don't really want to take it to 100 and then have to wait for it to cool down. So it saves time and energy. There's a water sensor level, so the app tells you how much water is in the kettle. It's just quite remarkable, and it links in with If This Then That, which means that you can set it up, for example, when you start moving in the morning or when you approach your home, the kettle switches on automatically if you wish it.
Well, sure. Some people might find it useful. So how many stars and how much?
4 stars, £118, £118, which is about, you know, twice the price of a good kettle.
A lot of money for a kettle.
Certainly not the most expensive kettle I've
seen. And what's it called again?
It's called the iKettle from Smarter.
Febsy, I'm sorry that we've had to We've had to truncate, but we've got to go to this next item. Otherwise, I'm going to be in dead trouble. People want to contact Fevzi. It's at Gadget Detective, and he can answer your technological questions.